Matthew 24:32. Can we read a few verses? I'll point out some things as we go. It says, "Learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." Now, actually, he's talking about the fig tree being Israel. And Israel has become a nation again, is what it's referring to. And you know that because that's happened, you know that summer is nigh. "So likewise, ye then, when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the door." How many of you know we're in the end times? "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Whoa. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knows no man, no, not even the angels, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." You go back there and read, and you'll find that several things were happening in the days of Noah. One thing was that the earth was filled with violence. He said, "As the days of Noah, so will the time of the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And know not," verse number 40, "then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left." In other words, not everybody's going to be going with him when he comes. "Two shall be in the field, one taken, then shall one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come." Say out loud, "Watch therefore." That means pay attention. Not just physically with your eyes open, but spiritually. Be alert spiritually. "Know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Talking about some guy guarding a house and just staying on alert all the time. If he'd have known, he wouldn't have let it happen. "Therefore, you be ye also ready." Say ready.
Ready.
Go back up there to verse 42. Underline "watch therefore." Let's just underline some things. We'll catch a pattern here. We'll see some things Jesus is repeating over and over. Verse 42, "Watch ye therefore." Verse 43, "if he would have watched." Underline, "he would have watched." Then verse 44, "therefore be ye also ready." Underline, "be ye also ready. For in the such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his house, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant," or that servant, "whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." So he's talking about paying attention, being alert about when Jesus is coming back in the end times. And then he says, whatever your assignment is, he talks here about in verse 45, a servant that was given an assignment to feed the sheep. Giving them meat in due season.
Yes. Yes.
He's talking about somebody that's called in the ministry to feed the sheep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, that man, he said he's faithful in verse 45, and a wise servant, if he's doing that whenever Jesus comes back. He's a wise man if he's busy doing that when Jesus comes back. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. So being ready and watchful and, being ready for Jesus, to meet Jesus when he comes, is also includes being busy doing what he's assigned you to do.
Amen.
Can you see that's not just, having a prayer life, but it's doing what God's told you to do. Give them meat in season. Then he said, that man's blessed whenever the Lord comes and finds him so doing that. I want to hear a blessed word from the Lord's lips whenever he comes.
Amen.
Verse 47, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Praise the Lord. How many of you know this life is qualification and just a test lap? It's just a test run on things to come.
Yeah.
Amen. People unfaithful down here won't be giving much up there. You know, we're not going to just sit around on a harp, or on a harp, on a cloud, playing a harp.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
We're going to have an assignment. We're going to have a job description.
Yeah.
And people that aren't faithful down here can't become faithful up there with much.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is all just proving grounds down here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people think right about some of this. I think people just think, well, man, if I make it to heaven, that's the most important thing. Well, I would say probably so.
Yeah.
But listen, heaven is eternity.
Yes.
And heaven has rank.
Yes.
Heaven has higher places on the hill to live, closer to the throne of God.
Yes.
And lower places. Heaven has greater and lesser mansions. Heaven has greater and lesser garments to wear. Greater and lesser crowns to wear. Greater and lesser glory to wear. Amen. You don't want to go through eternity in a toga, and everybody knows, well, you didn't obey God in the church age, did you? See law. Stop and think about it. And that's not just for a while. That's forever and ever and ever. Amen. I don't want to be a, well, there is no street sweeper in heaven. I don't know what the lowest is in heaven. Come on. Anyway, that's for another sermon. Verse 47, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Verse 48, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour, now underline this, he is not aware of. Notice all these verses, we underline some things in verse 42, 43, 44. Underline in verse 50, he's not aware of. In other words, there will be people that when Jesus comes, they'll go, whoops, I wasn't quite ready. Christians. Here he's talking about servants. Here he actually, in this verse, he's talking about ministers. When that trumpet starts blowing, we don't want to go, whoa, hold on, wait, you know. I haven't done what you told me to do. Too late. Too late. So he said he's going to be not aware when his Lord comes. Do you know spiritual timing is something that you can be aware of if you stay tuned in and obedient to God? All right, verse 51, shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. This is a minister. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, maybe we'll just pass on that verse. I don't know if we want to. Amen. Okay, let's back up now to verses. This is chapter 24. Let's go to chapter, let's see here. Let's go to, where's the chapter? Back in 24, I believe. And where it talks about the end times, where all the pestilences and all that. I thought I had this in chapter 24, but you remember that passage? Matthew chapter something. 24:7. Let's go back there. Yeah, there's where I'm looking for. let's go to verse number 4. Jesus answered, said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come. They're asking him when these things are going to be. And he's talking about the end times. Man, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So that's one thing he says will happen in the last days, deceptions. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. So number one, he said, make sure you're not deceived. Number two, he said, make sure you're not troubled. These are things that you and I will be tempted to do in these last days, be deceived and be troubled because of all the, you know, he mentioned here wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Not must because it's the will of God, but must because of the state and the condition, spiritual condition of the world. The nation, for nation shall rise against nation, literally in the Greek it's ethnos against ethnos. and kingdom against kingdom. That's talking about kingdoms and nations. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Whoa. What's the end look like? All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Hello? All right. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, there's. I never thought we'd see it as quick as we're seeing it. But today we're the enemy. In many people's minds, we're the bad people. We're the ones causing the problems. But the Bible says, in fact, 1 Timothy. Maybe we'll go over there in a few minutes. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. And one of the things it says is that there'll be haters of those who are good. It's happening right before our eyes. Man, it's happening fast out there. Anybody recognize we're in the end times? And so he says, you'll be hated of all nations. They'll deliver you up and afflict you and kill you. Hate of all nations. Now, there's some things I believe that we need to balance out there. You know, people say, well, you know, just some people are martyrs for Jesus. Listen, if it comes down to denying your faith or giving your life, we don't deny our faith. But you read other, in fact, I don't know if it's the same passage, I believe here somewhere, he says, he talks about that that he'll show you the evil intents of men so you can escape them. I believe we can escape a lot of this stuff. And so we won't take time to get into all that, but just got to balance things out. All right, so verse 10, then shall many be offended. Say offended. And shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We were talking about loving God a Sunday or two ago, whatever it was. And that's one thing he means, but also love between brethren. People are mad nowadays. You know? But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I'm gonna last. How many are we gonna make it?
Amen.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Amen. He goes into some other things. We won't get into all that. We'll go back there and point out one thing, though, in verse number 10. Many shall be offended. I wrote a number one up in verse 4, see that no man deceive you. I wrote number 2 down there, see that you be not troubled. And I wrote number 3 down there, number 10, many shall be offended. Actually, number 4, verse number 12, iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so you can see some of Satan's main strategies in these last days. Cold love towards God. Being offended at everybody and everything. I'm telling you, we live in an offended generation. Just offended at everything. I mean, you got to change the name of buildings and places and things because it's offending somebody. Listen, I'll tell you what's offending them, and that is the truth. The truth is offensive. Amen. Bible said they'll hate you for my name's sake. When you tell them the truth about God, that's what they're offended at. It's nothing personal. Well, praise the Lord. When you tell the truth, I'm going to get to my sermon here, but when you tell the truth, you convict those who don't want to hear it. Now, you can misunderstand some of the things I'm saying. You know, some of the things about that they want to take down concerning slavery. I guess it's fine. Take that down. Because in some ways, people need to keep looking at it and saying, that was wrong.
Yes.
But in some ways, yeah, we need to buy. I can understand. So I'm not really talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about anything that has to do with the founding of our nation.
Yes.
You know, anything is a fair. They even tore down people that did things that they liked.
Yes, that's right.
They're offended and don't even know why they're offended.
Right.
statues of people that did things. I'm not getting political today. I'm just simply saying a lot of people have gotten so offended at everything that they don't even know what they're offended at anymore. You know what I'm talking about? They're just mad. I mean, killing their own people mad. Why'd you kill them? You can't even give a sound explanation. It's just, it's the last days. These people are oppressed by evil spirits. Thank you for the enthusiasm. But see, they can't hear the truth. Their big problem is they're offended because the truth convicts them. And it also stops Satan's propaganda. I have never been as aware of propaganda as I am in the day we're living in today. Things that are being pushed, trying to get everybody to believe it and accept it. I'll just give you an illustration. Since you want to know what I'm talking, well, that's not really what I'm talking about, but this is an illustration. Everybody now is pushing wear a mask. Well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Well, go do some studying. Like the lady I heard the other day, she wore a mask all the time, and she got symptoms and came down. They tested her and got COVID-19. And so they tried to treat her, and they said, man, this is a bad case, and you're not doing well, and we can't be sure you're going to make it. We're trying to do all we can. And she's going down, and called a friend who was well-versed in some of these things, and the friend said, insist, absolutely insist they test for other things. And so they went in and said, we ain't accepting this. You test for everything else you can attempt. They tested her and found she had Legionnaire's disease, treated her one day in the hospital. She's out of the hospital. And they said, how often do you wear a mask? She said, all the time. They said, that's where you got it, breathing in the bacteria. Here's a nurse telling me to get it, telling you to get it. You break down your immune system wearing a mask all the time. It's a political agenda, folks. Get mad at me, do whatever you want. Just know when you're being propagandized. What, Pastor? What's it? See, if you knew what was going on, and I'm on the inside. You know when you wake up in the morning and God gives you a dream and says, this person's doing this, tell this person that. And you get inside information. You live in that realm of seeing and knowing. You're more aware of what's going on. All this is a big push to make our president look bad until the election. You got to decide, are you going to go along with what? Well, anyway, I'll get off all that. I hear some amens over here. Y'all right? People have gone off their rockers, man. Driving down the road with a mask on. You've been listening to too much news, man. Nobody else in the car, just driving down. Got the windows up. Got an ozone machine going in there, you know, just. I'm going to get off of that right now, all right? But see, people are just out of their heads. You might think that's a small issue, and maybe it is comparatively, but yeah, right on the other hand, there's anytime, you just mark this down, anytime there's a whole bunch of people that don't love God really pushing something, you ought to get suspicious. It's like, what's the big deal? Yeah, well, all right, now, don't take that off my time, so. Go over to 1 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And look at chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, starting in verse number, no, chapter, excuse me, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Some translations say dangerous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Anybody under conviction? Without natural affection, truce breakers. That means they won't keep their word. False accusers. That's called false news. Incontinent. Well, I got to help people understand. People, they read the Bible and they don't understand what they're reading. I've never wanted to just glass things over. I always just tell the gritty truth. You know what I'm talking about? Good, bad, ugly. Just tell the truth. Me, you, or the post. Just tell the truth. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good. That's what we referred to a moment ago. Good people are bad and bad people are good nowadays. You know, you're in if you do evil things, but you live right and you're a virgin when you get married and, you know, you don't do all the stuff and you don't say hail Satan. And I'm telling you seriously, the stuff that's going on is just nuts. Then you're a bad person. You're the problem. And so they're despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's a big one right there. Message Bible says addicted to lust and allergic to God. Boy, I've met some allergic people. Have you met some allergic people? Man, they break out in hives. You start talking to them about Jesus, they break out in hives and start quivering and shaking and spitting and sputtering. And I'm... allergic reaction. Well, let's keep on reading. I haven't even got to page one. I'm not even at to my title of my sermon yet. Traitors, heady, high-minded, and so forth. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Ooh, that means people that just go through the motions in church. Don't have any power. What's the power? Number one, the new birth. Number two, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Signs, wonders, miracles. Amen. From such turn away if they don't have that. All these, these sorts, so forth and so on. Now, so we're in the last days. Can anybody see it? We're in the last days. Well, he said over there in Matthew, we read it several times, to be ready in these last days. And be ready because Jesus is coming back. Now, how many of you know we've got to read the Bible and rightly divide it? Number one, what we read over there in Matthew, for example, all those things, that's not what's happening in the church, in the true people of God, among the true people of God. That's the world. That's going on out there in the world. And that's going to be, you know, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse and so forth and so on. We're going to reach as many of them as are open and hungry. Yes, and believe God for a move of the Spirit that gets people's attention. Yes, because some people aren't paying attention. But right on the other hand, there's a vast difference between what's happening in the world, or prophesied to be what's to be happening in the world in the last days, and what's happening in the church. Amen. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. But the Bible says the church goes from glory to glory. Praise God. The end. Remember Job over in James chapter number 1. A couple chapters there. Job chapter number 5 too. 5 also. But Job's type. Job's life was a type of the church. If you read it very carefully. Very blessed at the beginning. Lost it all. And then had it all restored twice as much. The church has very blessed at the beginning. Signs, wonders, miracles. I mean all kinds of things. I mean preach one sermon, 3,000 are saved. Moves of the Spirit, angels appearing, getting people out of jail, visitations from heaven, dreams, signs, people raised from the dead, on and on and on. That's the beginning of the church age. Very blessed. I mean, all the things of God in full manifestation. But then lost it all in the dark ages. But Job, as a type, is going to be, he got twice as much restored. Before he finished, he got restored everything he lost twice as much. And the church will see twice as much as the book of Acts. before we're done.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's the word. That's the word. That's what we believe. We believe that. We believe in an end time outpouring of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Make Peter, Paul, James, and John look over the banister of heaven and go, oh, what could we have done with that kind of glory? We can't look at what's seen right now. We got to look at what we believe. We'll look at what the Word says. So there's a big difference between what'll be in the world and what'll be in the church in the last days. Amen. Praise the Lord. But notice there is mention there in Matthew 24 that we are to be ready. We are to be ready. Ready for what? Well, ready for the return of the Lord. Go over to Luke's gospel. Let's look what it says in chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, verse number 17. It says, in King James, first of all, he shall go, they're talking about John the Baptist, he shall go before him, or Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elias, or Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Say that out loud. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The Amplified says, he himself will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and I'm skipping over part, in order to make ready for the Lord a people perfectly prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed and placed in the right moral state. Whew. Make ready a people for the Lord. Amen. Prepared for the Lord. Prepared in heart. For the Lord. Well, now is that talking about him coming back? Absolutely. Talking about the return of the Lord. Prepare people for the return of the Lord. Remember, he kept saying, watch, be ready, so that whenever I come, you're not caught unawares. And you're doing what I signed you to do. You'll be blessed. You'll be glad you did. Amen. So it's not, I want to just talk about being ready in these last days, being having a prepared heart in these last days. Because really when the Lord called me to the ministry, I was, I don't know if I was probably eight, somewhere around 8 years old. I always say it's probably about 8 years old. I didn't take notes or I didn't have a journal on the spiritual happenings in the life of Jay Eberly at 8 years old, so I didn't write it down. But I usually guess it was around 8 years old. Maybe we can come to heaven, you can ask me, was it eight? And I'll say, yep, eight and a half. Jesus told me it was eight and a half. I don't know. He could say nine. I don't know. But the call came to me in a dream where the Lord spoke to me and said, go tell my people I'm coming soon. And so that was the initial dealings of the Spirit with me concerning the call. He dealt with me much about it, you know, through the years, but that was the initial call. Go tell my people I'm coming soon. Yeah. And so we started out to prepare for the ministry. And of course, we went to Bible school and started out in the ministry and so forth and so on, and started out to fulfill the call of God. And I've always known there's more, you know. And how many of you know, for example, like Saul, the apostle, who's changed to Paul, he was told from the beginning what he would be doing, but he went through several phases before he got to that and actually stood in the full manifestation of it in the office of the apostle. Right. He went through some phases before that where he really wasn't fulfilling the ultimate that God called him to. That doesn't mean he was disobedient. How many of you know God will prepare us in lower offices to get to what he really has for us? And the same with all believers. He'll prepare us in less responsible things in order to get us into what he really has in mind for. He wants us to be faithful in a few things so he can make us ruler over much. Amen. So that's just the way God works. He doesn't just throw us into the fullness of everything. The Bible actually warns about putting novices in positions of authority. Because Satan will take advantage of their pride. He said, lest they be lifted up in pride. They fall under the condemnation of the devil. In other words, it's dangerous to be thrown right into the fullness and for God to bring that full anointing on a person at the beginning in spiritual immaturity, because the devil will take advantage of their immaturity and take their feet out from under them quicker than you can snap your finger. Takes some maturity to walk in some of these places. Amen. And we don't mature just overnight. It takes time. But let's just keep on being faithful. What do you say?
Amen.
Anybody got more in your heart that God wants you to do?
Yes.
Amen. I do. But anyway, God said, tell my people I'm coming soon. So we started out in the ministry and so forth. And we were called here to pastor. The Lord had me pray a season of prayer. And finally it came clear to pastor. And he spoke to me again. He said several things about pastoring. And then he said this. That which I said to you before, I say to you again. Go, tell my people I'm coming soon.
Yeah.
And then he added something. Okay. He said, tell them to get ready.
Yes.
Tell them to get ready. Tell them to get ready. Well, if you were only born yesterday and heard that, you would know something. That just means not everybody's going to be ready. That we aren't ready automatically because we got saved. He said, tell my people. Oh, his people are saved. Huh? So you can be saved and not ready. Somebody said, what's the consequences of not being ready? Well, I don't know if we want to go there. One of the things is we'll be ashamed before him at his coming. We won't be ready to meet him because we didn't do what he told us to do. Another one would be loss of rewards for sure. We read here of a guy that was cast out. Well, that doesn't go over good doctrinally with a lot of people's preaching, but I just read it. How bad? We should not really want to find out. We should not be toeing the line. I mean, over against the edge. You know what I'm talking about? Just barely 1 foot in the kingdom, just straddling the fence. We ought to just get all the way in and not find out what not being ready looks like. Come on, tell me I'm preaching all right. So, when it comes to the call of God, he said, go tell my people I'm coming soon. And then he said, tell them to get ready.
Yeah.
To get ready. Well, that's what Jesus was saying in that passage in Matthew, wasn't it? What's the point? You have to prepare yourself for what God is doing, or you could miss it altogether. Amen. Spiritual things can be forfeited if we're not ready for them when they come. Jesus came up over the brow of the hill, looked over Jerusalem, started weeping. Oh, Jerusalem, if you had known the time of your visitation. Remember that? You know, so forth and so on, but you weren't, and so therefore there's going to be, you know, the tragedy, the temple's going to be destroyed, and so forth and so on. And it all came to pass. Why? Because when Jesus came, which was prophesied, they rejected him and didn't receive him. They were not ready for him. Even with John the Baptist's ministry, they still were not ready. I don't want Jesus weeping over my life, Spirit of Faith Family Church, or any of your lives, because we didn't know the time of our visitation. And weren't ready for it in spirit. We didn't know how close Jesus' return was. And we're dilly-dallying. Just living what we want. Just living for our own desires. God promised he would bless us. He promised he would increase us. He promised us the good of the land. He promised us all those things. And listen, we're going to walk in them. And we are walking in them. But listen, it's about more than just that. There's a whole, remember Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. We've got to be about kingdom business. Amen. Everybody still glad you came this morning? And so, to do the will of God, you and I are going to have to prepare ourselves for what God has for us. Brother Hagin used to pray all the time, Lord, prepare me for what you prepared for me. But if you're going to pray that, pray it sincerely, because he'll start doing that out of honor for you, believing him to do that. And there'll be things start happening that he'll start asking of you that your flesh might not want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you ask him to prepare you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about Spirit of Faith Family Church. It's a place of preparing.
Yeah.
It's a preparation place.
Yeah.
It'll get you ready for what God has for you. Amen. Some of you should learn to understand that and stop going in and out so much. Well, I want to get to it. Yeah, you're not ready. Amen. I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost to some people. You're not ready. Not ready for ministry. You're sent here to be prepared. Hallelujah. I don't always like saying what I got to say, but I got to say it. So some people aren't going to be ready. That's what Jesus is saying in these passages in Matthew 24 and so forth. And then what he said to me, tell them to get ready. Isn't that right? What does ready look like? Well, he said here in the Amplified, notice the Amplified, perfectly prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed and placed in the right moral state. Whoa. Are you still out there? If we get through some of this, we'll look at some of this, what this means to be ready. There's some things that require some places. Let me say it this way. There's some assignments, some stations, some places in the Spirit, some places in prayer, some places in the anointing, some mantles to wear, some things for this last day move of the Spirit that require much preparation. They require a life on the altar of sacrifice. Oh, now we're getting into it. Pastor, I just want to hear a sermon on prosperity. You already did in the offering. You heard one of those. Amen. That's not everything in the Word. There's more in the Word. Woo, going over good this morning. Amen. There's some stations that God needs people to occupy. You remember that large upper room the Lord showed me in my dream? The Lord showed me this place that was had a lot of unused equipment in there. It had been vacated and dust was on it, and things weren't being there was equipment there that weren't being used and weren't functioning. And I'm standing there. There's a group of people around me, and we're looking around, wondering who was here, who's not, who was supposed to be here, and why is it not functioning, and why is there dust? And the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, "This is your room." Yeah. Talking about rooms in the Spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I said, "My room." And He said, "Yeah." He started speaking to me, and these are ones that I've assigned to different pieces of equipment that are in this room that are to work with you. I said, in my dream, I kept wanting to give it to Pastor Nancy. Lord, give it. Have Pastor Nancy get it all ready and clean it up and train all these people. And He said, "No, this is your room."
Yeah.
I woke up kind of perturbed because I had an assignment. Preparing people for stations and functions and operations, the things to work. Well, I done went ahead and got in the partner meeting tonight. I'm going to go ahead and there's things that I've got in my heart for the partner meeting tonight. This is supposed to go a different direction this morning. It's you all that are hungry pulling it out. That's what's going on. Amen. So this preparation in the last days is not just, okay, I'm right with God. Come on, Lord Jesus. Right with God includes being busy.
Yes.
We read that, didn't it?
Yes.
Doing, functioning, doing what we're supposed to be doing, and being good at it. Remember, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Good means you're skillful, and faithful means you're with it. You're on it.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
But the reason some of us aren't functioning in greater things is because we still need more preparation.
Right.
Say preparation.
Preparation.
Not talking about Preparation H. Preparation. I'm keeping some of you engaged. Every now and then, some of you kind of start counting lights and stuff. So you'd be amazed what you see standing up here looking at you. Say amen.
Amen.
Preparation. Hallelujah. Say we're being prepared. For greater things. Say, I believe, and I act according to the way I believe, that I'm being prepared for greater things. Amen. Show God you've got some faith in that. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a verse that's helped me along this line. Talks about different ones of faith, you know, Noah, Abraham, Moses, so many great heroes of faith. Let's look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, we'd say reverence for God, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Circle these words or underline them. By faith, first line there, by faith, prepared. By faith, Noah prepared. In other words, he got ready for something that was coming. See, notice what preparation for something that you believe is coming is. It's called faith. People of faith don't just sit around, twiddle their thumbs, and wait for God to move them into what God's plan for their life is. They're getting ready, preparing themselves for what God has for them. Do you realize it won't fall on us in an unprepared condition? You can have something in your heart and go through your whole life and never fulfill it. Paul said, the Lord counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. There was a faithfulness that he had to fulfill before he even got to the ministry. That's why some have tried to step out and it doesn't work. Doesn't work. You know what I'm talking about? They're not ready. Preparation is necessary. Anybody that's going to do anything right is going to have to prepare for it. If you're going to be a good doctor, you got to spend years in school preparing for it. How many of you know if you're going down the road and your friend in the car seat over here has a heart attack, you don't want to just pull over along the road and call any old jack out of the crowd. Hey, come here. Operate on him. Operate on him. He's not been prepared to do that. You had better take more time and get him to the hospital where somebody's prepared than do it real quick and kill him. Where do I cut? Well, try there. We'll see. Let's try. Better go to school and find out first, right? So everything takes preparation. But when it comes to the things of God, I've met a lot of people that don't really like this part. You know, your flesh doesn't like this part. It just wants to get to the glory. It wants to get to the power falling, to the anointing, to the great ministry, to this or that. This is not fun. The flesh doesn't like this part. But it's necessary. It's a proving ground. Tell me I'm preaching all right. And we ought to spend more time preparing for what God has called us for or called us to do than we did our driver's test or, you know, a career in something. I'm still preparing. I've been preparing for 30 years for what really God has in mind for me. Woo, my Lord Jesus, what's taking you so long? I don't know. I'm just endeavoring to stay faithful. Listen, I can't get any older. I got to fulfill the plan of God. All right. That was a little side note. That's supposed to be funny. So there are things that won't come if we don't prepare. Amen. Praise the Lord. One thing to prepare in is in faith. Luke 18:8 says when Jesus comes, he's going to look for faith on the earth. Well, guess what? Then, according to Matthew 24, some won't be ready. You put those two verses together. If they're not walking by faith, they will not be ready. They won't be ready. One way to get ready is to develop your faith. Now, why do you and I need faith in the last days? Number one, we read in Matthew 24, we read in 2 Timothy 3, all the perilous things that will be happening in the last days. You and I are going to have faith to live victorious in the last days. Craziness going on out there. Craziness in the economy. I mean, you might think because what the Lord said to me about our president that I'm just lockstep in everything he does. I'm not. $2 trillion, whatever, trillions of dollars of bailouts. I'm not. Raising the debt up to, what, $30 trillion now or whatever it is. Not. No. Have a plan. Give us a plan. Get us out of debt. Amen. It's actually immoral. Handing out money for votes? Well, don't get me on that. I don't know how much every household of America owes now. What is it, $60,000 or more to pay the debt off? Maybe somebody can tell me that. But got kind of sober in there when I said that, huh? I think it's more than that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tell me I'm preaching all right. But there's stuff shaking out there. So we're going to have to be people of faith in these last days because of all that the enemy's throwing around. Amen. Man, how many of you know even to walk by faith, though, you've got to be a person who prepares yourself in the Word or you won't be walking by faith. Remember, Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Notice it's not just stand. No, it's having done everything that has to be done to stand, stand. So there's some preparation to just be good at standing in faith. So we to succeed in the last days and thrive in the last days. And listen, we'll never forget about getting to the next purpose of faith for us. If we don't learn to just be victorious in our own personal lives, we're never going to get to using our faith to fulfill the plan that God has for our lives. Because I said, why do we need faith for the last days? Number one, we need faith just to live victorious over the insanity and the demonic people and the trouble financially, the upheaval. One translation of, it's actually in Luke's account, it says distress of nations. And you look it up, it means wanting resources. I mean, you see that from time to time in nations. I mean, things get on the edge of just falling apart. And they pump it up and prop it up, and the monetary fund, people that print money print more money, which makes the value of everything go down. I mean, the dollars go down. I mean, it all looks rosy, but underneath there's a lot of corruption and things that really aren't there to support. It's going to take faith. Remember what we were talking about on Wednesday night about the Lord saying, I saw that dark cloud over the next part of this, the second term of the administration. I don't have full revelation of what all that is, but whatever it is, I know my faith is necessary, and I'll use my faith. We'll get through it. Get in the secret place and get the answers. That's what the Lord was saying, you know. So, I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but see, it takes faith. Having done all to stand, stand. Well, what does it look like when you take a quick stand and you weren't really ready, but you stood? Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like Peter walking on the water. He took a stand. Jesus, if it's you, bid me come. Come, Peter. He got out on the water. He got real quick stand. He took that word come and walked on come. But it was a quick stand. It was a quick release of faith. He didn't prepare to do that. It was real quick, and he started sinking. That's what stands that people aren't prepared. They take a stand and they aren't prepared. That's what it looks like. Jesus talked about the same thing in the parable of the sower. He said they don't have any root in themselves. You got to put a root down into the Word of God. That basically, the only way I can go down is if this Word I'm standing on goes down. And that ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this? Now, we'll get into some other things that we were sharing just a little bit there tonight. But let's talk more about this standing in faith. Go to Ephesians 6:15. There's more to faith than just us using our faith in perilous times to overcome all the perilous times. You read Isaiah, what is it, 60, I believe? Darkness will be upon the face of the whole earth. Gross darkness upon the people. But he said, light will shine in your dwellings. See, that's the difference of what's going to be like in the last days in the world, what's going to be like in the church. Hallelujah. The church is going from glory to glory. He's coming for a glorious church. I said, he's coming for a glorious church. That means a church full of the glory of God. Let me say what the glory is. There's a lot in my heart recently about the glory of God. The glory of God is, if you look up the word glory, in fact, the Vines defines it this way. I don't know if I can say it exactly, but it's something to this state, something along this line. It is the original state in which God created something to be. Adam sinned and came short of the glory of God. The original state that God designed him to be in. Wow. In other words, he's coming for a glorious church. The church, the way he designed it to be.
That's right. Amen.
In all the power of God, yeah. Walking by faith, yeah. Overcoming the world, being free from sin, yeah. Signs, wonders, and miracles, yeah. Reaping the harvest, yeah. People victorious. Praise the Lord. There's a whole lot more to that. Here's the glory of God. The Bible said whenever Jesus stood as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, he's Jesus, the God in the flesh, yes, but he was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. He stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Yeah. And he came forth bound hand and face with napkin around his face, you know, bound up. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And he said earlier that if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God. Yeah. Calling that the glory of God. Yeah. Yeah. A raising from the dead. That's the glory of God. Yeah. That's the glory of God. But here's even more specifics about that. The glory of God, yes, raising from the dead is the glory of God. But a man standing and commanding something under the anointing and it comes to pass, that's the glory of God.
Amen.
That's the glory of God. Hallelujah. Where's Brandy Ballou? I just think about whenever she's in the nursery, she stood. Which one of their children had a seizure? Yeah, Nevaeh. I command you to stop in the name of Jesus. Like that, the thing stopped. That's the glory of God. A man, woman, man, human, standing and commanding, and it obeys him. Woo! That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. Here's the glory of God. Somebody said one time, the glory of an apple seed is an apple tree. In other words, that's what God designed that seed to ultimately be. He didn't design it to stay an apple seed.
Right.
I thought, yeah, but that's still not quite it. The glory of an apple seed is an apple tree producing more apples. Yeah. That's the ultimate God created that seed to be.
Yeah.
Tell my trees that, would you? I got some trees that need to hear that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what is it? Manifested word. This word, give me your Bible. This word was not intended to just stay on these pages. It was intended to be planted in your heart and produce a harvest after its kind. Every time you get something out of the Word and results come forth out of it, changes your life, produces something that wasn't there before, that's the glory of God. Woo. That's the glory of God. Hallelujah. Man walking and acting like God. That's the glory of God. He's not a God. He's not God, but he's a man acting and walking like God. Praise the Lord. Well, where did I tell you to go? Ephesians what? 6:15. Look here. I got to turn there myself. Ephesians 6:15. You enjoying this morning? Praise God. Prepared. God needs people in the last days who are prepared. And that includes walking by faith, doesn't it? Ephesians chapter 6. I brought the Bible that's falling apart today and it's hard to turn. All right. Verse 15. King James says, your feet, this is the man in the last days wearing his armor. Well, putting on the armor of God. Remember? The Christians to be armored with this armor. He says, put on the different parts of the armor. Take you the whole armor of God. Verse 13 says, that you might be able to stand, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. That's the word of God. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's to the knowledge of who you are in Christ, right standing. It also includes living right. And then verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isn't that interesting? Preparation. Yeah. Say preparation. Listen to the Amplified. Having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability. The promptness and the readiness produced, say promptness, readiness, produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Oh my goodness, I just started my sermon. There's this preparation that we're talking about, that's mentioned here, isn't it? Your feet shod in preparation to face the enemy with a firm-footed stability. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about, the context of this is having done all to stand, stand.
Yeah.
And so he said, you got to have feet with shoes on it that gives you a good grip to stand.
Yeah.
You see it? So, I mean, you know, in any good fight, in any good wrestling match, any good boxing match, any good whatever, you gotta have good footing, or else he knocks you off your footing. He can get you whatever kind of boxing it is. I mean, you know, get you on the mat, down for the count, or he can, if it's the different kind where you get outside the circle, you know, if you lose your footing, you'll fall out. And so you gotta have good footing. And he's telling us here that, the preparation, let's read it again in that light. Having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability. He's talking about having good footing so you can stand firm and not be moved.
Amen.
Standing on the promises, standing on the word and not be moved.
Right.
Woo, glory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I tried that faith business and it didn't work. Well, how long did you try it?
Yeah.
Number one, you don't try it. But how long did you go? 40 minutes or what? No. Having done all to stand, stand. Praise the Lord. Just keep on standing. Just keep on standing. That's going to be what it takes in the last days. That's what's going to take to oppose. See, the enemy's going about in the last days with great wrath. He knows his time is short. So with all the stuff thrown at us, how many of you know our flesh doesn't like to be called names that they call us now? Now everybody's a racist. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I mean, in their mind, anybody that just doesn't agree with them, that's not so. That's made up out of whole cloth. Is there a problem in the, there's people that have a problem. I've met some of them, and I just wish I could find a barn to take them behind. You know what I'm talking about? Ignorant people. But that doesn't make anybody that disagrees with somebody this or that or the other. Amen. So it's just a strategy to get us all intimidated so nobody says what they really stand up for anymore. It's called the silent majority. But they need not be so silent. Anyway, praise the Lord. Everybody still glad you came? Some of you get nervous every now and then, but that's all right. You'll get over it. So everybody say, stand.
Stand.
Whatever is thrown at you, you got to stand. And there's more to this than what we could really get into this morning, but I want you to notice that let me read this again. Having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news, notice, the gospel of what? Peace. There's a lot of different elements to the gospel, but he mentions one of these elements that's so important in this verse, the gospel of peace. Amen. So what he's talking about is learning to be a person who just doesn't get troubled.
Amen.
Getting the word, the gospel in you that keeps you in peace. Remember, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When all this stuff's going around, our minds are on the Lord. And we're not all worked up and lured out of peace into fussing, cussing, discussing, and other ussing. Because there's a lot of people, they just want to fuss. I'm going to keep my peace. How about you? You go tribulate, I'm going to go over here and have some peace. Praise the Lord. You know why a lot of people don't have peace is their mouth. They're always talking about all the trouble, all the upheaval. Why don't you talk the word? Amen. Well, tell your neighbor, this gospel of peace is going to help you stay on your feet. On your feet. Amen. Now notice, are you with me? Notice there are some things here about this. Your condition of preparedness before the battle comes, before the season of test, or before the strategies of the enemy, often determines how successful your stand will be against the enemy. How many of you know you can't prepare for a boxing match the morning of the boxing match? If you're going to fight the Muhammad Ali's of the world or the guys that are on the top in the boxing world, you're going to have to do something way before you get in that ring. Isn't that right? And so preparedness is not just, Jesus is coming tomorrow, I better get ready. No, this is the lifestyle we live. We don't wait till we need faith to get faith. We don't wait till we're in trouble to go to church. You know what I'm talking about? We don't wait till the distress of nations hits and we run to the Bible. Where's those prosperity promises? Well, you could be like Peter. Amen. Listen, you want people, you want more for people sometimes, but if you can't do the word for them, you can't put the word in them for them. You can't prepare them for themselves in spite of themselves. I'm going to make you ready in spite of you. You just can't do it. I mean, you love them enough you want to, but you can't. Everybody still here?
Yes, sir.
So we've got to decide, I'm going to prepare for whatever the enemy's going to do, whatever he's going to throw at me, whatever he's going to throw at this nation. I'm going to prepare for that in faith. And I'm going to prepare myself to do the will of God. Because our faith is not just for us to live victoriously. It's to advance the purposes of God.
Yes.
Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
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 Come on, young people. We're going to hand this thing over to you someday. You better get ready.
Amen.
Video games are fine, but listen. Just spend more time in the Word preparing yourself to do your part. Because one thing I refuse to do is hand it over to a panty-wasted generation who can't stand up to the devil and don't push forward the plan of God. And don't get into more than we got into. Amen. Remember, Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, stand fast so that I get my crown. What? Yeah, he wanted fruit that remained on the earth when he left. So, next generation, have you ever thought about that? Come on, tell me you're hearing what we're saying. So, having done all to be a person of faith, having done all, I mean, what's this include? It includes consecration. Having done all to be a person that's strong. You don't get strong in the Word by not spending time in it. Not feeding your spirit. Not like Brother Carlos said, going to bed. And I'm sure other times during the day, gets up. I'm sure just feeding his spirit. Just feeding his spirit. Sometimes the flesh goes, I don't want to. And you say, shut up. That's what we're going to do. We've made a decision. Me, myself, and I, we've made a decision. And we are the majority. Amen. I've had times in preparation for services or things I knew were coming up or the next thing God had for me, just intense times of feeding and I look out the window and the sun's shining and I got things I would enjoy doing and I got to look away and say, nope, I got some things in my heart to prepare for here. Yeah. Doesn't mean I don't have any fun. I have more fun than most people, three or four people put together here. Amen. It's just some things are more important. Well, hallelujah.